This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, we are continuing to dissect the Atlanta Braves World Series championship last night, 7-0 win in Game 6. Yeah, we've been saying it all morning, as two guys that didn't have a dog in the fight, would love to have seen a Game 7 just for the theater of it, but the Braves, who have not won since 1995, are the champions of baseball. Joe Buck is a... How do I put Joe Buck in the proper context? He's liked, he's hated, but he's not beloved. He's not reached a point like Al Michaels has, where he's just been around for so long that he's a beloved national broadcasting figure. I always kind of thought that if you're going to be a play-by-play guy, the best, if you're looking for adoration, and it's, you know, part of the job, it's better to be a local guy where you are pulling for the same thing as the people that are listening. Too many times when you're a national broadcaster, too many times people think, oh, you hate their team because you're rooting against them when you're not doing anything. You're just stating some things that may not be what people want to hear. So Buck hasn't gotten to that level. But when you think about that, you think about where he's been in the World Series. He has called World Series games consistently since 2001, right? And since that World Series, or maybe even 2000, I think it's 2000, he called the 96 World Series and the 98 World Series, and then from 2000 up, he has called every World Series in Major League Baseball. He has had the pleasure of calling the Chicago Cubs breaking the drought, the Boston Red Sox breaking the drought. He's had the pleasure of calling a couple of St. Louis Cardinals World Series, the team his dad is most famously attached to. And while the Braves aren't a drought, you know, 95 is not the same thing as 1908, he did call a championship last night for a team he's never called a championship for. And he's getting to a point where he's been pretty much doing a lot of them across Major League Baseball. But I know people don't like him, and they mute him, and they make Joe Buck jokes out of it. That is a really hard job to do on a national level, to call it as you see it and to make sure that both fans of both teams are kind of happy with the job. And I do give him a lot of credit because he's been doing it a very, very long time.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio. Steve Gardner is going to join us later on this hour. We're going to talk baseball and the Atlanta Braves beating the Houston Astros Game 6 of the World Series last night. And again, first championship since 1995 for the city of Atlanta and for baseball. Congratulations. George Patton, the general manager of the Denver Broncos, said, "We did right by Von Miller, saying that, you know, we send him to the right franchise, a chance for him to win, a chance for him to be part of a great franchise." A little odd thing to say, but here's his quote. Quote, "We talked about the Rams and how he fits. Really, we had a good conversation. But the main thing I communicated to Von is that this is a win-win. We could have moved Von somewhere else, but we wouldn't do that. We wanted to do right by Von. We send him to a great franchise. A team right in the thick of it. And he's really going to fit in there and really help with the second part of his career." Well, that's a little odd thing to say. Because you know what that says? And if you're unlucky enough to still be on this crappy team I'm running, too bad.
Yeah. As he looks around the locker room.
Right? We made sure Vaughn was well taken care of. We sent him to a team that actually could win football games.
Sorry, guys.
Unlike this crappy team I'm stuck with here in the Mile High City. Y'all should be thankful you're on an NFL football team, you bunch of bums.
All I'm hearing
is that what he's saying?
What was the manager's name in Major League?
Oh, yeah.
And then she's going to sell you off for better personnel.
That's right. Like, Like, can I just tell you what this really is, guys, before you start giving George Patton all the credit in the world for being, like, a nice guy that took care of George? I'm going to tell you exactly what this
He's a hero amongst men.
Right. This isn't George Patton making sure Von Miller was treated right. This is George Patton showing other free agents, if you come to Denver and it doesn't quite work out, we got your back.
Yep.
That's what this is. Like, look what we did to Von Miller. Like, we sent him to a Super Bowl contending team. Like, I'm very interested in that kind of thing for you. I'm not going to ship you to Houston. God, that would be awful.
Nah, we actually selected four teams, all with title hopes, and put them on a wheel and spun it. Rams won.
In fact, you can imply on this that that all these other lousy teams made good offers for Von Miller, but I said no.
That's right.
Because I waited for the right team that has a Super Bowl championship on the line, and I waited for them to call. And when the Rams called and offered me a second and a third, I said, we have to do what's right for Vaughn. Even though we could get a first and a second and cash. And we said no to the
Jaguars.
Dolphins.
Jaguars were going to offer us Trevor. I said no.
I said no.
Because that's bad for Vaughn. Send him to the Rams.
The Jaguars were offering Trevor and the entire city of Jacksonville. And we said no. So we can send Von Miller to the Rams where he can win a title. So those of you interested in playing for the Broncos know that. That's what that was. That's all that was. It wasn't even, like, you know,
and
what?
For you guys that remain.
Yeah, you guys stink.
I'll do my best.
Yeah. You guys stink. What a self-congratulatory statement this is.
Oh, that's a pat on the back.
Isn't it? That is kind of humble bragging, which is the worst kind of bragging.
Yeah, that's a self five.
Right? Exactly. It's a self five. Yeah, exactly. Gee, you know, I don't know. I never really hit the stock market well, but the last couple of weeks, I've just been, just picking all the right stocks. I don't know how I'm doing it. Just making money for everybody. I just don't know how I'm doing it. Goodness gracious. He's literally waving. Look at here. Look over here. Look what I did for Von Miller.
Does he walk down the hallways going, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, right. You're welcome. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Exactly.
Like, Maui for Moana.
You know what? Here's what's sad. He's not coming out and saying this, so I want to make this clear. He didn't come out and say his team's not very good. But he's basically signaling that a team that's 4-4 is not what you think it is. Like right now, if you're 4-4, you still have a chance for a wild card.
Yeah.
You're still in the thick of it. In an AFC where the Buffalo Bills have two losses and the Titans lost Derrick Henry and the Cincinnati Bengals, the bloom may be off the rose there now. Like, all of these teams have got, like, two losses. You got four. All right. But what he's saying is we're going to have a lot more than that.
No, what he's saying, I mean, the other thing, too, he's not ripping his team completely. He's just saying, guys, honestly, we don't have a chance.
Right. We don't have a chance.
The long run. Look at the marathon. We're not winning the marathon.
So here's the deal. I wasn't going to sign Von Miller. I looked for a trade partner. I found one that was good. It happened to be the Rams. And now I can spin this to make me look great and the organization looking great as we're going to take care of you. And I'm telling you right now, the first superstar in the near future, 5 years from now, whatever, the first superstar of that team that's heading into a contract year that they don't want to re-sign, that they trade to some lousy 1-8 football team at the deadline, we're going to remember this quote from George Patton. We're like, oh, that's too bad that you took so-and-so and threw him to the awfulness of that city.
Now, here's something we need to know. Is he giving his team bulletin board material?
Right. Is he?
What
that's
if
right.
they turn around and start winning, then at the end of the season goes, see? Self-five again.
That's right. That's right. What a weird thing to say. What a weird thing to say.
Ah, look what I have created.
You know, by the way, and don't get me wrong, I understand the emotion of Von Miller. I was there when he got drafted, and he was so happy. I remember, you know what was weird about the year that he got drafted? That was the lockout year, and so you couldn't really talk to him. Like he like come in and leave real quick, and like it was like weird. Like he could only be in the facility like a certain period of time, and he had to get out. But I remember he was really happy. He loved being a Bronco. He loved Denver, but when he was crying, when he was like in tears, I was like, okay, but you can still live there. Do you really want to be on this lousy football team? Like you're going to the Rams for crying out loud. Have you seen where they play?
Yeah. Do you realize that the guy in front of you in a three-point stance is going to be Aaron Donald?
Aaron Donald, right.
And if you guys stack one side, they can't double-team you both. They can't bring four guys over there to stop you.
You are going to be on a team that is competing for a Super Bowl realistically. Like, realistically one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Like, as much as I appreciate the fact that you like living where the mountains are, you know, and skiing, I mean, you know, I get you, hey, you know, they miss the organization.
Listen, I mean, it may be a little bit more of a drive, but you can still do that in Southern California.
You certainly can.
Believe me,
you can go to the beach and ski
at
the same day.
Yes.
Southern California. Whatever Von Miller likes to do in the Mile High City, you can do that in Southern California. Except in Southern California, you breathe more oxygen. How's that?
No, you do that in Colorado.
No, you don't.
There's more smog in
Oh,
LA.
That's true. That's a good point. Well, you know, Denver's got that haze, too. Nevertheless, I don't feel bad for Von Miller.
But,
I feel excited for him.
Hey, something similar? You both get forest fires.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
Good point. Anyway, I thought I'd point this out as one of the most bizarre statements I've ever seen from a general manager. You know what? Why can't the general manager just go, you know what, we had to do what we had to do. It was best for the franchise at the time, and we wish him all the luck. We love him. He's always got a place for us. We're going to put him in the Ring of Honor someday. It's just best for the franchise that we get something for him now because we're not going to get something for him later, and we sent him to the Rams, and good luck. But instead, he's like, yeah, how can I bury my own team by telling everybody that I made sure Vaughn was actually going to an organization that's winning football games?
By the way,
is that signaling to Vic Fangio? You better start packing your bags, because as soon as I'm done with him, I'm coming after you pretty soon.
Because I ain't getting anything from you anymore.
Exactly. And that's the other thing about George Patton. He didn't hire Vic Fangio, so Fangio better be like, honey, yeah, just have like half of the house packed, because we'll probably be leaving soon.
Where to?
Yeah. Don't know, but it ain't going to be here. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, Steve Gardner, one of our favorite guests, is going to join us coming up. I love talking to Steve. He's so good. He's got such an enthusiasm for baseball. He'll talk about the Atlanta Braves and winning the World Series. And how in the world did this happen from what they were in the summer to where they are now? And what happened to the Astros? What happened to the Astros' bats? Good pitching. I get it. But how surprising was it that they really didn't come alive in this series? We'll continue that thought as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every single day. All right, quick question. All right, I know it may take a couple more years of postseason failure, and I know Carlos Correa could be on the move, but what if the Astros only win one World Series with this core group of talented, unbelievably amazing ballplayers?
Didn't we start off the show this way?
Kinda, yeah.
Kind of talking about the Braves?
Right.
I mean,
will they feel the same way?
It has that feeling, doesn't
right?
it, though?
Like, I feel like, okay, when you get a window like this, where you have this kind of talent, right, there's almost like a feeling like, we got to win a couple. I know winning one is hard, I get it. But one just doesn't seem, one it seems like you could just get. Like, some teams just get one, and they dismantle the team. Some get one that have no business getting it, but the chips just fell in the right spot. The Astros have one of the more talented baseball teams you will see in the past 5 or 6 years. What if they only get one? What if the Dodgers only get one with their collection of talent? Like, am I asking too much to get a second championship in any sport?
No.
Like, am I asking too much for Aaron Rodgers to get another Super Bowl? Is that too much? Should I just be happy that he won one? Or does he need two? Like, it's a weird thing we do in sports. Like, it's like you win a title and you go, well, you got to win one more. Do you? Do you have to win one more? Like, to me, and this is just me personally, I don't. If you disagree with me, that's fine. But I remember the Braves of the 90s. I still haven't seen a pitching staff that dominant in my lifetime.
Ever. The Lions came close, right? With Verlander, Scherzer,
Bryce. The Tigers.
Oh, the Tigers. Sorry.
Yeah.
Lions.
We still got Dan Campbell on the brain. We're good.
Lions. But no, the Tigers came close.
Right. They came close. You're right.
But the Braves also had Avery.
Avery.
And then there was another starting pitcher. I can't remember, but there was like five of them. It was like the most dominant rotation you ever saw. And
didn't they have Mike Hampton and Denny Nagel too?
Yes.
Like those guys.
Yeah. But it's that type of situation you're not going to see again. No team. I mean, maybe the Dodgers are getting close if everyone was healthy or, not beating up people.
But they were throwing out Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz every 4 days, whatever the rotation was fighting. They were throwing these three guys at you every week. And I've never seen a dominant.
For a couple of years, too, by the way.
Like for years, and for them to just get one, I'm sorry. I know you should be happy with one. I get it. But that kind of baseball luck, that kind of baseball talent, you get a brief moment with that thing. You better capitalize on that. And to me, right, we've seen fluky teams win championships that had no business winning it, and they won it. But when you have a collection of talent where you're like, hey, not only can we pitch, we can hit. We got one of the rising young superstars in Chipper Jones, right? Like back in the day, they managed one. What if this Astros team's with Jose Altuve, who is just remarkable at these kind of moments, with Alex Bregman, again, Carlos Correa, who could be gone, but you know what I mean? Yuli Gurriel, Kyle Tucker. This lineup, we talked about it earlier. It's infectious when they hit.
I'll take it a step further than that because they had other pieces as well. Don't forget George Springer.
George Springer, right.
The pitcher Dallas Keuchel, who was kind of like the mainstay. He was like the man before Verlander got there. Verlander, too. Verlander's probably gone this season.
Yeah.
After the season. I mean, he's on his way. He's on his road to rehab and coming back. But a lot of people believe that he's probably going to sign somewhere else because his contract is up. Maybe going back to the Tigers just for one final swan song.
Like I said, and I get it. It's,
But you're absolutely right about this team. I mean, it's, you look at what these guys have, and if this is all they accomplish was one World Series title, three appearances, making the playoffs every single, I think they made five straight ALCSs, right?
Yeah.
This is it. Just one title in their first year.
And look, I know dynasties just don't happen in baseball. It's so hard to keep things rolling along. But man, we thought we'd see the Astros winning a few more. I know it's hard. You guys, all of you who are doing the counter arguments, I completely understand the counter arguments. But I think it's just more of a, I don't know. It's like when sometimes my wife will go, man, why do you eat that? You don't really like it and it's not healthy. And I go, I don't know. I'm just eating it. Right. Like, I don't know why I feel like the Astros should win more while with this collection of people. I've seen on Twitter, because of the network being in Houston, I got a lot of people that I've used to work with at the network. I follow them on Twitter saying things like, this was built for a dynasty. This was built to be a dynasty, and it's not a dynasty. It's not. It's not. It is a great baseball team that got one that should have got more. And I'm telling you, that's why I didn't believe it when our guest a few weeks ago said, it's okay. People are cool with the one championship. I'm like, I don't know, man. I remember the conversations. I remember people being really ticked that team didn't win more. I feel like maybe the Astros will head that way. Maybe it's a little early to be discussing that because it's 2017. It's in this window. But remember, they were talking about that with the Braves in 96, 97. Like 97, they didn't go to the World Series. I think they lost to the Marlins en route to the World Series. So they were talking about the Braves and being disappointing a couple of years later. I think that was the game where like the umpire, the Marlins, there was that one game where the umpire was like, calling strikes like 6 feet off the plate and stuff. But that's kind of where I'm leaning towards. Like, wait, think about this for a second. 2019, the Washington Nationals win the World Series. Where are the Washington Nationals now? Nowhere. Nowhere. They strip their team down. Marlins have done it a couple of times, right? Have the Diamondbacks ever won a World Series again with Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling? Nope. A couple of years later, Theo Epstein poached him. Randy Johnson went to New York. Right? You get this opportunity, you take advantage of it, you get your title, and then most of the time, it gets broken up because you're either borrowing players on short contracts or whatever it may be. But when you develop a farm system, when you develop young talent, and then you add pieces to that. Don't get me wrong. Those Astros have a lot of young talent that came through the system, but they also went out and got a Verlander, right? They got a Garrett Cole, and they got guys coming in. But a lot of the talent was guys that they scouted and drafted and were lousy and lousy and lousy and lousy so they could get these kind of players. If you're going to just win one when other teams are like, yeah, we won one, and then we dismantled the whole thing, and you're like, well, we won one, and while we moved a few pieces, we didn't really dismantle the whole thing, and we just never won it again. I think there's a little level of disappointment. I don't think Marlins fans are like upset per se that they never won more championships. They may be upset that they stripped the team down after those titles, but they didn't get disappointed time and time again after winning that first title. Same thing in Arizona. Same thing in Washington. You can be disappointed in how your team responded to winning a championship a year, 2 years, 3 years later. But when you keep the same kind of core of people, plus or minus a few guys, and you don't win, and you don't win again, I think that's disappointing. I think that that becomes, you know, the Yankees are a perfect example of this. The Yankees won in 96. They won in 98, 99, 2000. That's as close. That's the last dynasty we really had. Right now, I know people like to say, well, the Red Sox won, they win one every like couple of years, right? 2004, 2007, 2013, 2018. That's not really dynastic. The Yankees winning four in a 5 year period, that's dynastic. But eventually, that started to fall apart. They lose to the Diamondbacks, they lose to the Marlins in 2003. They don't appear in the World Series again until 2009, where they win it. Like, it's going to come to an end. Even the great Yankees with Jeter and Pettit and Bernie Williams and all of those guys, even they had their window closed. It's not open for a long period of time. This Astros team is going, that window's closing. And I wonder how the team and the fans process it. I give them credit. I'll tell you this. We kind of minimized this at the beginning of the series by saying, look, this cheating scandal is behind us. But you know what? I give them credit for making it back to the World Series, for getting back there amongst all that drama and losing a manager that they liked and a general manager that helped build the team. New manager, new organization, new management organization. I give them credit. They did a great job. They played really well for Dusty Baker. They just ran into a better team in this particular moment in time.
Yeah, or a hotter team.
Yeah, a hotter team. I mean, that's a better way to put it.
Put it that way, because, I mean, since like late August, this has been the hottest team in baseball.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. But I tell you right now, we're going to talk to Steve Gardner about this in just a minute. I think what Alex Anopoulos did was a blueprint for some of your teams. Don't quite give up yet.
Yeah.
Like, if you could, you know, don't be afraid to be a buyer every now and then. You don't have to be a buyer all the time because it will cost you down the road.
And you don't need to be splashy. I mean,
you don't have to be splashy either.
I mean, did you really hear of Soler?
Right.
Before? I knew
right.
Jock
outside
Peterson.
Of him winning the World Series with the Cubs, I didn't, you know.
Yeah, obviously I knew Jock Peterson from, you know, being a Dodger fan.
Dodger
rookie.
Fan, sure.
I mean, he was Rookie of the Year there. I think people got used to hearing him because the Dodgers were always in the playoffs. But I didn't know Jorge Soler.
Yeah. And
I didn't.
Even Eddie Rosario and Adam Duvall, they weren't superstars.
No.
You might know about them. They hit a couple home runs or whatever. But they weren't superstars, and he knew that they would fit. And he knew that they would fit well, and then, boy, did they ever. We'll talk to Steve Gardner all about the series. Where do the Braves go? Where do the Astros go? All of those things. And we'll also talk to him about the potential lockout that's on the horizon, and are we close? That's coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we've been spending a lot of time on the World Series with the Atlanta Braves winning in 6, 7-0 last night. Progressive Guest Line, Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Steve Gardner, USA Today. Help us break it all down. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you, Tony?
What a series. I mean, what a team. Give us an idea of how where the Atlanta Braves were this summer and getting the and making these moves and how they did this. Like, just this belief that we're not going to be sellers, we're going to be buyers. Give us a rundown of the timeline it took for this organization to be where they are right now.
Yeah, I think it starts with the injury that ended Ronald Acuña's season. And, you know, if you know, the general fan would say, oh my gosh, you know, it's over. That's no more reason to care about this season. But yet the Braves front office said, 5% chance of making the playoffs or winning the division. That's okay. We can do that. So Alex Anthopoulos and company went out and basically rebuilt that outfield. And, you know, it took four guys basically to replace Ronald Acuña Jr. And they were able to do it. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, they had to identify Jorge Soler, you know, somebody who was hitting under 200 with the Kansas City Royals, and say, we need him. He can help us. And do the same with the other guys, Eddie Rosario and company. And they did. And to credit to the front office to not give up, it was an entirely winnable division. And sure enough, that's what they did. And once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. The Dodgers and Giants had to play each other, so you didn't have to go through both of them. And the Braves were the best team in October. And I think all the credit goes to the Atlanta organization and, of course, the Atlanta players and Brian Snitker for getting the job done.
Given the localness of Major League Baseball, does this happen a lot where teams take that kind of gamble, it just doesn't pay off? Or are the Braves setting a blueprint where other GMs are like, you know what, maybe I should not be a buyer when everything falls apart. Maybe I should be relooking at the way I'm building this team.
Yeah, I think you have what we have too in Major League Baseball right now is a good number of teams that have decided to play for the future. I mean, maybe they won't say they're tanking, but they're not putting competitive teams on the field. And I think the Braves had the opportunity to go one of two ways, play for next year or continue to fight and scrap and see what they can make out of this season. And I really hope, Tony, that it will just send a message that, yes, it can be done. You can turn things around. And think, you know, once you get into the playoffs, and next year, should we get expanded playoffs even, maybe that's an even greater case for making for that type of approach.
Let's talk about the Astros. Was it as simple as the Braves pitching was just better than their hitting? Was there something that was something the Astros could have done? I mean, Dusty did try to move the lineup. He did attempt that. Is there any other reason other than simply pitching outdid hitting that caused the Astros to lose this series?
I really don't think there is. I mean, he tweaked the lineup when it looked like there needed to be a little bit of a tweak to it. They just didn't hit the home runs that the Astros hit during the season. What did they hit? They hit two homers in the entire World Series,
yeah.
Something ridiculous like that, and the Braves had 10 of them. So I think that's really the story of this, is the way that the Atlanta pitching staff just completely shut down what was the best offense in baseball this season. I mean, you know, the Astros did not strike out. They were the best at making contact, and yet the Braves made them look ordinary, and the numbers bear that out. So I think if you can't place any blame anywhere else than just the Astros did not do what they did to be successful throughout the entire course of the season and the first couple rounds of the playoffs.
Were you surprised how good at times this Atlanta pitching was? The Ian Anderson 5 innings no hitter, the even last night Max Fried 6 on the road, giving him just 4 hits in 6 shutout innings. Was that a surprising aspect? I mean, they're good pitchers, don't get me wrong, but these guys really stepped up.
They did, and I thought that Atlanta had the advantage in starting pitching coming into the World Series, but then Charlie Morton, you know, breaks his leg,
yeah.
and all of a sudden, now you've got, oh man, everybody else has to up their game even more. I think this is one of those cases. We saw it with, remember the Red Sox in 2018 with Joe Kelly and David Price coming out of the bullpen, Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, all of those guys, all those relievers just had pretty much the series of their lives. And I think the Braves relievers did something similar. I mean, they were not as good as they showed in the World Series during the regular season, but yet, Tyler Matzek was practically unhittable. And, you could go on down the line. Will Smith was pretty much perfect. Even Luke Jackson, who struggled in the championship series, came back and was fantastic in the World Series. So I think when you get, it's the equivalent of a hot goalie in the playoffs in hockey. The Braves just had, six or seven of those hot guys that all stepped up their game at the perfect time.
Larger picture here for this organization. I mean, I looked it up this morning because I'm like, it does feel like the Braves are in the playoffs all the time. And boy, they are in the playoffs a lot. And yet they had not crossed that finish line for the first time since 95. From a larger picture feeling of this championship, what is it about this organization? And why is this such a feel-good story for this organization to finally win again?
Yeah, it is. It is winning a World Series is hard, and
really
so
hard. You're right.
The Braves are living proof of that, and I just think when you have an organization that has the young talent that the Braves do. I mean, Max Fried. You mentioned Max Fried and Ian Anderson on the mound, but Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna when he comes back. I mean, this is a team. With just Freddie Freeman as kind of like the grizzled veteran of the group. It's a young team that certainly can compete for, several years going forward with the core that they have right now. And I think that's a credit, again, to the front office in getting those players, drafting those players, signing those players. And what's really going to help down the road is the fact that they have Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies signed to long-term contracts at very team-friendly numbers. And, there was talk last night about, could this be Freddie Freeman's last game as an Atlanta Brave? I think that's balderdash because yeah. there's no way that they won't have the money to sign him, and he wants to stay there. So you add that other piece to, the core that they have intact, and this is a team that's built for the long haul.
Carlos Correa, what's the feeling? Is that the last time we'll see him in an Astros uniform?
I think so. And, he even sort of admitted that to I know one of our reporters was there and was talking to Carlos Correa. And he basically said, yeah, when he came up the last time, it went through his mind. This could be my last at bat as an Astro. And so, yeah, I think with the shortstop market this offseason, several teams in need of shortstops, that Carlos Correa certainly will test that market and will likely find a better deal elsewhere than he would get in Houston.
In terms of baseball, give us an idea of where we're heading in this offseason. What's the lockout potential? Are they going to get something done? Is this just a little early posturing, or is there something serious on the horizon?
Well, I think the way that negotiations go, and especially with the climate now, as we saw last year during the the COVID shortened season of how hard it was to get both the players and the owners on the same side in terms of just setting up the parameters of the season, I think that ill will has carried over, and I do think that whether it may not be a lengthy lockout or work stoppage or whatever, but I think we're facing the very good possibility that we see something, a lack of progress by the time spring training rolls around. And then the question is, have they laid any foundation? What do the players want to make sure? I mean, the finances certainly have tilted toward the owners in, over the last several years. How much of that are the players looking to get back, and what do the owners want in return? Those are the big questions. So, I think from a baseball fan standpoint, there's going to be a lot of, pox on both of your houses kind of talk because we want to see baseball. That's the bottom line. But I think the two sides, there's so much at stake right now. And, there's not a whole lot of trust.
Steve, always good talking to you, my friend. Thanks for helping us wrap up the World Series and, of course, the season. I can't wait to talk to you again when we start previewing 2022. Always good talking to you, my friend.
Thanks so much, Tony. Take care.
You bet. Steve Gardner, and putting a bow on the baseball season and the World Series, going to the Atlanta Braves again. What an amazing performance they had in this entire series. I mean, really. I mean, yeah, you're gonna lose a game or two. It's fine. They didn't sweep them or whatever. But they really. He brought it up. You get these moments where you're the right guys that you need all step up, and that's kind of what the Braves did. They all stepped up. They all were able to get this done. And that's what it takes. Maybe the Braves don't win again in another generation. Maybe, as he said, they're young enough and keep building on it that they might have a presence in this fall classic for many, many years to come. I don't know, because he said it's hard to win a World Series, even though we want to see certain teams win a little bit more. But it does feel like a very big feel-good story that, no offense to the Astros, I don't think the Astros would have provided. I think the scandal, I think them winning already, I think, yeah, it would be great for Houston, and if you're an Astros fan, who cares what America thinks? But I think overall there is a feeling like this is a pretty good feel-good story for the Atlanta Braves and the city of Atlanta to win this World Series. All right, we'll continue, wrap up this hour, get you ready for Denton Day on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Steve Gardner for joining us this hour to talk about the World Series. I love talking to Steve. He's so enthusiastic about baseball. By the way, we had two guests today, and I think this highlights something. When you listen to Jeff Hammond talk NASCAR and Steve Gardner talk baseball, they love their sport.
Yeah.
They love it, and they want to share it with you. They want you to love it. So they want to help you love it.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Hammond especially. He loves NASCAR. If you have like even like 1% interest in NASCAR, he wants to just get into that 1% and go, how can I make it 10? How can I make it 20? By the way, this hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage to fit your life? Rocket can. So I've reached the age in my as I've gotten much older and a lot more experienced in broadcasting, and I've done so many things. Today I'm going to have lunch with a young man where he's going to pick my brain on the industry. Should I tell him how horrible it is and it's just terrible so I can eliminate the young competition
that
is rising up? Don't you think it's a good idea?
I think it's a great idea.
She says, well, what do you think? Well, you know, this business, this job stinks. I mean, I'm trying to get out of it, but I can't. They got me trapped in. They got me locked in. It's awful. Just so that, you know, he doesn't start feeling like, now I got to work hard to take Tony D's job someday. Maybe I'll push him aside. That'll be fun. I like doing that. I like sharing my experiences. I like that when people, you know what? When I was younger, I wanted to do that. Like, you probably did this too when you were like in your 20s, where somebody was older and you're like, hey, man, can you talk to me about the job and your career? And it doesn't matter. Maybe many of you have done this too, whatever industry you're in. And it's weird to be now at an age where that people look at me and they go, you've seen it all, old man, haven't you? That's kind of weird, isn't it? I don't feel old, but I feel like he's looking like, what was it like when you edited with razor blade and crayon? I actually did edit tape with a razor blade and crayon. I did do that. And you know what was funny about doing that back then? You couldn't picture any other way of doing that. Ever. Like,
there were so many of those things too.
When I was editing tape back in the day with a razor blade, like you would mark with a crayon where you want the edit to be, then you would put it on the strip, and then you would line up your mark to a line, and then you would use the razor blade to slice on the groove, and then you put the other slice of the tape, and then you taped it, and that's how you did edits. And not one time in the years that I did that did I say, one day there's going to be a simple computer program that's just going to do this? Like, I just thought, I better learn how to do this because I'll be doing this for the next 30 years. And little did I know. I think we do this with technology all the time, right? Like, when you got your first VCR, did you ever think it would be obsolete? Did you ever think there would be another way to tape? Like, there would be a box with a hard drive in it and hold 100 television shows?
Listen, the other day, it was on Sunday. It was Halloween. It was early in the morning. We had nothing to do. And I was like, you know what? I want to watch? I want to watch Charlie Brown, the Great Pumpkin.
Yeah, Charlie I did Brown. That too.
And, you know we have it on DVD. My wife reminded me we have it on DVD. And I looked at her like, yep, but how are we going to play it?
Right.
We don't own a DVD player in the house anymore. Something I thought we would always have.
Always. And go to yard sales around the country. Everybody's selling DVDs and CDs and Blu-rays.
Yeah, we had a garage sale. I had a box full of DVDs. I'm like, honey, should we sell these? She's like, for what? And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know. $2 for 75 movies.
I'm going to be my own Columbia house. Here, I'm pick 10 for a penny.
You never realize where technology is going. But in the 90s, when I first got into this business, I didn't even allow my imagination to picture another time where I'll never forget the first audio editing software I saw. It was towards the late 90s, like 96, 97. Our production director had to go from New Hampshire to Dallas for 3 days to train on how to use it. That's how it was, this massive piece of equipment. And it took him 3 days of 12-hour-a-day training to come back to learn it. He was the only one certified to use the software. Now anybody can use it on their laptop. It's crazy. Denton Days coming up next. We'll be back for Throwback Thursday tomorrow morning. Thanks for joining us. Congratulations to the Atlanta Braves World Series champs.